97.5, 1280, The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Wayne Cook will join us here in just a moment from the UCLA football broadcast. Looking forward to catching up with him. Getting you ready for UCLA. What do you think of the Bruins this year?
Well, I think that this season is going to tell us so much, man. You know, it's a program that obviously has a lot of pageantry, a lot of pride. Everybody is always hopeful for it, but seem to be a letdown more often than they've been able to really carry that prestige. So we'll see.
Ended the season last year on a two-game losing skid, lost to USC 43-38, then lost to Stanford 48-47. Scored some points, but gave up some points as well. And now joining us on the Smart Rain guest line, Wayne Cook, UCLA sideline reporter, College Sports Now podcast, also on Learfield IMG College. Wayne, how are you?
Hey, Wayne.
Guys, I'm great. I'm listening to you guys coming in, and I'm like, you know, I want to get angry, but you didn't say anything wrong. It's just like, man, I feel like we're doing better than the record. It looked better last year. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about where your level of optimism is going into this season.
Well, it has to be high, you guys. And remember, and I've said this, there's a lot of coaches out there that are doing a great job that inherited teams that were already good, meaning that the program was established. They walked into a team that was winning 10 or 11 games every year, and they just kept doing it. And so, the Ohio States, the Oklahomas, there's teams out there. But then you look at what happened at UCLA, and in Jim Mora's last few years, UCLA really fell off. You know, they had a couple of 10-win seasons under Hundley, but it kind of started to deteriorate after that. And Chip Kelly came in, and from day one, you guys, he had a plan. He wasn't, you know, he wanted the right type of kids. He wanted to recruit the right people, and it was a struggle. We played a ton of freshmen. We played a ton of sophomores, and we just struggled. And you would see these, you know, this glimmer of hope from time to time, and it would be followed up by, you know, just a bad game. And last year, as I told you guys, yeah, it was 3-4, whatever the heck it ended up being. But, you know, we had a backup quarterback on the road against Oregon, and it's three turnovers, which you can always say that, you know, if this didn't happen, we'd have done better. But I mean, it was a really good game. We had you mentioned the two-game losing streak against USC. They had to go down and win in the last seconds on a last-minute drive. And Stanford, I still can't figure that one out. We were up by 14 late. I don't know how we lost. I still don't know how we lost. So it's just like one of those things that this team definitely needs to learn how to win. And if you keep coming close and losing, it's, you know, we're going to have another turnover. We're going to have, you know, to change things up and go a different direction. And I don't want that. I love what Coach Kelly's doing. I love the type of players he's brought in. Our grades as a school are high. Our athletes, our depth, for the first time we have got, you guys, I'm not kidding, this three deep at a lot of positions, not just one and then who knows about the back guy. I've got positions I'm looking at, like Mitchell Agudé, who I think is going to be one of the better pass rushers in the conference. And then I look right behind him and I see a guy like Miles Jackson, who I've been so impressed with out at spring practice. So I'm like, and you see that at a lot of positions. There are guys all over the place with playing time, even in the third string spot. There's guys that have played a lot. So I'm pretty pumped up. I love that we have an experienced quarterback. So, I mean, you can hear it in my voice. I'm optimistic, but I'm a little bit scarred too.
Yeah.
Where is the level of comfort right now for Chip Kelly? Is he on some level of hot seat or is he comfortable?
You know what? You guys, if you see Chip Kelly sometimes in press interviews, he might seem uncomfortable all the time because he just doesn't seem to like doing that. But when I talk to him and when I get to interview him, because I think we've grown – comfortable with each other, he's awesome. He's so smart. He's so with it, and he's so much more comfortable. When he came to UCLA, I think he was, you know, kind of establishing himself, and I think now in year four, it's his program and the administration and the way he deals with people and just how alumni, you know, being around campus, he just seems very, very comfortable. And I think that he's going to do things his way. And I think that, you know, what he's built, and I think we're going to see it this year. And you guys will talk about this. The problem is the South is deeper than the North, probably for the first time in a long time. I still think Oregon and Washington have a good chance of winning the conference, but I think when I look at the South, I mean, SC could win it. Arizona State can win it. Utah can win it. And yes, UCLA can win it too. I really think we're that good. But that's a tall task because you have to play all those teams. So it's a real, there's a lot of optimism. I don't think Coach Kelly thinks about a job at all. I think he's trying to coach these players. And I think he's put together a great staff. There's experience everywhere, like I said. So, I mean, I think he's going into this year thinking we've got a shot. And you know, he's a one game at a time guy, so I don't want to get ahead of myself either. But he's just really, I think he really likes what they've built.
And I want to be careful about this because last season was just a mess. And so it's hard to take anything from last year and project it into this year. So take this question with a grain of salt. But in the three wins, you hold Cal to 10, Arizona to 10, Arizona State to 18, and then you give up totals of in losses 48 to Colorado and 43 to USC and 48 to Stanford. Where's the concern level for the defense going into the season, and do you feel like that ship has been righted going into this year?
I thought last year, see, it's so weird. You guys probably deal with this too. Like, what is good defense anymore? Like, what is it? I don't really know. I haven't figured it out. The defense is like to hold the team to enough point to a low enough score to where you can win. I mean, there's so much. Even in the SEC, they score a ton of points now. So it's like things have changed quite a bit. If you look at our sack numbers, tackle for loss numbers, and all of those things, we were really, really good last year. And that's something that hasn't happened at UCLA. We had a very aggressive style of football. But when you do that and you don't get to the quarterback, our pass defense was bad. So, and I don't think our pass defensive starters are bad. I just think that they were put in situations. We played a lot more man. We put a lot more pressure. And so there's kind of good and bad that comes with that. I just think they're going to get better, though. I think that the whole group's back. I mean, you look at our returning starters, I believe we have 20. And I'm looking at every single person on our defensive starting lineup, you know, and again, there's a couple of jobs that are still up in the air, but all those guys have started games, every one of them, like lots of games. And the secondary, a lot of those guys have started games too. And so I think they're only going to get better. I mean, if you guys don't know who Quantrez Knight is yet and you haven't paid attention to him, watch him play. Carl Jones, number 35, watch him play. I already mentioned Mitchell Agudé. He's really good. I think Quinton Lake, our free safety, has a chance to be a great free safety. There's a lot of good players on this team. And, you know, I'm a little worried about the defensive front. I like Abonya and Jackson. They've got to prove it to me because we did lose. One of the players we lost was Odigi Zua, who was just a nightmare for opposing teams to block him last year. So we're going to have to find a way to replace him. But I'm optimistic. I really liked the sack numbers, the tackle for loss. We just got to tighten the ship a little bit against the passing game.
Wayne, if I remember your history a little bit, you did play quarterback at UCLA, right?
Yes.
Okay, so when you were there playing quarterback, now you see this name, image, and likeness. How much money do you believe you could have made? And are these athletes in the LA market, because we're watching very closely with BYU, Utah, Utah State here in the Utah market, it's lean. It is very difficult for any of these guys to find any type of NIL money. Are they finding it at UCLA?
I don't know the numbers yet, you guys. I don't know how secretive it's going to be. I don't know. I don't know yet. I'm one of those. I'm 50, you guys. I played quarterback at UCLA in the early 90s. And it's weird because, I mean, I played in the era of Troy Aikman and Tommy Maddox and Cade McNown, and I was kind of in the middle of all that. And so we had a lot of quarterbacks that were big-name people. I just read, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Nick Saban said something along the lines of their quarterback who hasn't played a down yet is pushing seven figures at this point.
Yeah.
To me, what you guys just said is exactly what scares me. And it's funny because, you know, I talk about this stuff a lot, and everybody in the media is like, yes, NIL is so good for the players, where it's like it's what they've deserved all the time. And it's like, yeah, but for how many of them? It's going to be it's not going to be about equity. It's going to be inequity. There's going to be a lot of players making money. There's going to be certain teams that are going to make money. And there's going to be other people. I mean, listen, I'm happy for the gymnasts that can make a lot of money. I'm happy for the softball players can make a lot. I get that. Like, if they have a social media following that's a billion people and they can make money off that, great. I'm not opposed to it. What I don't like and what scares me is that if a quarterback's making $1 million and hasn't even played yet at a school. I mean, if the recruiting advantages were already huge, I mean, I'm just so scared of what it's going to do to recruiting. Now, people say it may help schools like USC and UCLA because they're in LA. We'll see. I don't know, but I'm just not – I always say this, like, people are like, what's the problem? I'm like, yeah, when has money ever caused a problem? Like, ever. Like, it's like almost like you guys don't think this is going to be an issue at some point. I just feel like we're going to need some rules, and I know there's people out there that think we need no rules. Just let it happen, and we'll go with it. I wish I could go forward 5 years and see where we're at, but the Miami thing scares the heck out of me. When boosters can just say, hey, we're going to give everybody on their team $500 a month if they do this on whatever. I'm like, that just – I'm all for the players. I really am. But I also love college football and what it's done for hundreds of thousands of athletes over the years that have gotten degrees and great jobs and had kids that have gone to college. There's so much that has been good that I don't want to lose that. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys. Like, I just am afraid that there's going to be, like with everything else, unintended consequences to what's going to happen. Yes, a few people are going to benefit, but I'm wondering how many schools are going to really suffer from this and what college football is going to look like down the road.
Obviously we're here in Utah. We talk to people that cover the teams in Los Angeles and UCLA and so, but we're not in the middle of it. But every now and then you hear things like UCLA doesn't support its athletic programs or its football programs like perhaps they should. Is there a validity to that, that perhaps the university isn't as all in on athletics as they should be? Or is that just stuff that floats around from time to time?
So I'll try not to make this too long of an answer. We did have a time when I think the athletic department could have done a better job. When we had Cherry Donahue as our coach, and you know, he just recently passed. Yeah. And you know, we loved the guy, but he was so good for that school. But I think his salary was like $450,000 a year, and at the time it was like he was the highest state employee, highest paid state employee. I mean, what's happened in this game, it's just everything's changed so much. And you know, our locker room was great, but it was absolutely a piece of crud compared to what they have now. So UCLA, it took them a while, but they had to adjust with the times. They had to really start paying assistant coaches more money. They had to build a new facility. They had to kind of buy into the modern era of college sports or you get left behind. And it may have taken UCLA a little bit longer than it should have, but it's happened, you guys. The facilities that UCLA have is amazing. The assistant coaching salaries are solid. We don't have as many, you know, coaches after one good year fleeing for better opportunities. There's a lot of support for the program, and the players that are going there right now absolutely love it. They love everything that's going on. Martin Jarmond, our new athletic director, is a young, vibrant, energetic, all over social media. The guy's got so much energy. He's just a great person to talk to. He's good for the school. Yeah, we lost some money going from Under Armour to Nike and Jumpman, but that's a huge move for the program, and I think everybody's excited about that. So I think we're all in, you guys. The basketball team, basketball and football feed off of each other. And, you know, when I was at UCLA, UCLA won their last national championship in basketball in 1995. That was my senior year. And I promise you, we all fed off each other. We all absolutely just – all the sports that we're doing well, we fed off each other. And I think that can happen at UCLA right now as well.
How do you like their out-of-conference schedule? A couple of Mountain West Conference teams and then one of those big dogs at home.
UCLA has never shied away from big games. I mean, it's one thing I've always prided myself on. And it's a bummer. And Chip Kelly said this from day one when – you know, we've had a top 10 schedule. I don't know what our strength of schedule is this year, but it's probably pretty high because we play Washington and Oregon in the north. But, you know, and LSU is coming to the Rose Bowl. A lot of home games, 7. I just think this is the way it's supposed to be. I mean, every year I played at UCLA, we played in Michigan, we played in Nebraska, we played at Tennessee. We always, and sometimes we play, you know, 2 of them in the same non-conference schedule. And it is what it is. I hope we're not sleeping on, and I know the team and the staff aren't, but Hawaii and Fresno State. They're solid programs, and we've learned in the era of going to play teams like, you know, Cincinnati and some of the teams we played in the past, San Diego State, you know, when these teams are winning 10 games a year, you know, they're not easy outs. And so, you know, UCLA's got to show up. We play week zero against Hawaii, and I hope the team really, you know, comes out and plays well, because LSU is limping after last year and all the stuff that's been going on. But I have a feeling Ed Orgeron, you know, he didn't stop recruiting. He's still bringing in great athletes. They're going to bring a good team into the Rose Bowl. So that those first couple of weeks, you know, at Hawaii and then LSU are going to tell a lot for what we're going to see from this UCLA football team in the upcoming season.
We've seen a really interesting trend here in Utah where so many potential seniors, well, I guess there weren't a ton of potential seniors, but a lot of potential draft picks, and then the super seniors and everything that the NCAA has done. How much is UCLA impacted by that? Returning talent that would have graduated, would have been out of eligibility that are coming back.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I mentioned Quantrez Knight earlier. You know, he could have left. He had a really good year last year. I think he's an NFL talent. And he's getting his master's. He wants to finish. He loves his team. I love it. I mean, I look at, you know, players that maybe had opportunities to leave and came back. And, you know, not to spread this out too much, you guys, but the one of the positives with the NIL news, because, you know, there's always good and bad with everything. You know, it's hard to come up with a perfect way of doing anything. But UCLA just had two basketball players decide to forego the NBA draft and come back and help win a national championship at UCLA. I have a feeling that the NIL was a part of that, because now instead of going and risking, you know, maybe not making it or trying to make a little bit money or whatever, you can come back and make money and kind of feed off of your, like, you know, Juzang for UCLA had such a good year last year. You know, he gets to come back and now he's a big name. Maybe he can benefit off that and still be in college and help his team and finish off his degree and all that good stuff. So, I think it is a big deal. We only had two players, Odighizuwa and Felton, leave for the NFL last year, and they were both drafted. And I expect them to go on and have great careers. But we had other players that had choices to make, but they all wanted to come back. And not to mention that, you guys, the transfer portal, UCLA has been great at that. We have a running back in Zach Charbonnet from Michigan, that if you look at him and Britton Brown, we're going to be a power running team this year. We're going to have dudes that can actually absolutely kill it. We have a kid in Denmark Heath, who's a linebacker from Notre Dame, who I saw in spring, who looks awesome. I mean, he just is such a good player. We're bringing in kids from big time schools. We have a linebacker that we got from Alabama. We have players that are coming from big time programs, and they're good players. They're not just guys that were mistakes. They're good players. They want to be at UCLA. So whether it's super seniors, whether it's, you know, graduate transfers or just transfers, I mean, we've done really, really well. And that's why I'm so excited, because UCLA has depth. I mean, you guys all know that the best teams in the country, they don't always win because their starting lineups are great. They win because their second string, third string sometimes could start for most other schools. They're just so deep and they can handle. We've seen it. You know, Alabama loses a quarterback, so what? Put the next guy in, and he's going to be great. We've seen it at some of these schools. So I fully expect UCLA to have the depth that it takes to compete with some of the better programs like Utah. I mean, you know, you go to Utah, you get beat up. I mean, I've watched players, you know, drop in Utah games like, hey, man, who's playing right now? Well, now I'm going to know, because the second and third string guys are guys that have seen the field and they're good players. So I think we're better equipped for the gauntlet that is the Pac-12.
Hey, we really appreciate this. It's been a fun conversation. We kept you way too long, but thanks for the insight, and look forward to seeing that Utah-UCLA game a little later in the year.
You guys, I cannot wait. I just am so pumped. I love the Pac-12 too, you guys, so let's hope that we make some noise and can shut the rest of the country up from talking smack on this conference, because it is a great conference with a great history.
Love it. Absolutely.
Very
love
important
it.
They do it this year, man, for sure.
Thanks, yeah. Wayne.
Thanks, guys.
Wayne Cook, UCLA sideline reporter, also hosts a podcast for Learfield IMG called College Sports Now.
He was a baller back in the day. I think he's one of the only UCLA quarterbacks to never lose to USC. I remember he was tagged with some type of. I'm trying to remember what it was. I think he played in three or four games against USC and never lost to him something.
Lost.
But and that's why I recalled his name. He was a good quarterback.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Coming up next, we will spin the wheel, a little sports roulette. We'll announce number 33 in our top 60 and 60 coming up at 1:30. Also, David Locke will join us just a hair after 1:30 as well. But, Hans, boy, I tell you what, now's the time to bring in your used car.
Now more than ever. They need your used car. They're giving you more value for your used car on trade-ins, on buybacks. It doesn't matter. So bring it down to Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. We're here off the 90th South exit. You'll see the big green building here. Just head east off 90th South off I-15. And we've got plenty of jazz gear still that we're giving away. Obviously, they're giving you incredible prices on new vehicles, new used vehicles, and they're giving you the most value for your trade-in. You won't have a better time in probably in history to trade in a vehicle and get the value out of a car that you currently own. That car that you're driving is worth more now than it's ever been, and it's worth more now than it's going to be in 5 or 6 months. So take advantage of it. And we've got plenty of people here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket to help you out. Any one of the 6 dealerships across the Wasatch Front, bring it on down. Let's get you a bid on that vehicle. How much is your car worth, and what kind of car are you looking to get into? And if you're just looking for a new used car, you know that this is the number one inventory. You've heard me telling you for the last 11 years that this is the number one inventory. That's not changing. They've got access to more vehicles than any other dealership in the state of Utah. It's Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket for your trade-in, for your sell, and for a purchase. Just come to the big green buildings where they're saving you thousands upon thousands.
It's all right here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, the 90th South location just east off of I-15. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
At some point, you want to be recognized.
Did you hear what he just said? At some point, you want to be recognized.
Well, that's why you're complaining about
not winning. Ironic. At some point, you want to be friggin' recognized. Yeah, exactly. Nice little patronizing and condescending comment thrown my way. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Guy feeds the naked here. My goodness, he does it all.
And I'm not giving him a coat. You hungry?
Right out of the scriptures, man. He feeds the naked. I mean, it's just unbelievable what he does.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Five 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Live here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. We have got way too much jazz gear left. I want this stuff gone. Megan does not want to haul this stuff back to the old storage facility. So let's get it gone. Come by, grab what you want. Let's go.
It's yours. And come take advantage of these amazing prices. I know you've got buddies that complain about the vehicle situation they're in, right?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Like, I can't even believe it. I'm so locked in this. I got an $800 payment on this car. Mm. I can't wait until this lease is up. I can't wait till this and this and this. Man, just bring it into Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Trade that thing in. I'll bet that you can get more money for it than you would ever imagine right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got a good friend of ours who bought a vehicle back in, what was it, January, February? And Doug ran some numbers and said it's worth actually like, what, $4,000 more now than when he bought that?
Yep. Yep. And he was pretty shocked. But yeah, That's where we're at right now. So bring it down. Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Plus, these guys, they're the best. These are my buddies. I love the crew, and I miss Ephraim. I don't know why Ephraim's not here. Miss him. Feel lonely without him.
I don't.
he's shockingly
way too good looking,
handsome,
like intimidating,
well dressed too.
Yeah,
and well put together.
Hey, before we get to sports roulette, let me ask you this, because I, again, not knowing your taste in movies, but knowing when these movies came out and you and I kind of having the same mindset on stuff like this, I got a sneaking suspicion you liked it. There is a fourth Jackass movie coming out.
I had that on the wheel.
Oh shoot.
No, you're fine. No, you're fine.
Sometimes I don't get the headlines.
I'm going to take that one off.
Yeah, just take that one
did
off.
Did you really have it on the
I
wheel?
I did.
You just deleted it, too.
It just said, are you guys excited about this one?
Oh.
No, it's fine. I don't expect you to.
Let me take this sticky off real quick.
To know what I'm thinking in those headlines.
Lloyd, I'm sorry. Hopefully it doesn't leave a mark.
No,
on
don't
it.
Even worry about it, because we were going to talk about this anyways. And I don't know how to feel about this. I really don't, because I want to be more mature than I want to be more mature than this.
Yeah.
You know, these things are like these things are really.
Oh man!
Look at this.
Yeah, no.
We're just watching the trailer. They're childish, and now these guys are in their mid to late 40s.
Yeah,
I think Johnny Knoxville is 48.
Oh, really? I thought he was in his 50s.
And one of their guys is no longer with them anymore.
Well, there was a couple.
There's, you got a couple that are missing now?
Yeah, because they didn't invite. Dunn passed away, I think.
Yeah,
in a,
it was Dunn that passed away.
And then Bam Margera, you know, they're in a legal battle because they didn't ask Bam Margera to come back. And you guys have probably seen all that mess. Have you seen all that mess?
Wait, Bam's the one with the stepfather that he's always like pranking, like, and he's in his underwear, right?
No, that's his real dad.
Oh, I thought it was his stepdad or something.
No, I think it's
that's his real mom and dad.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you got the right guy that put an alligator in his mom's kitchen and attacked his dad while he was sitting on the toilet with fireworks and.
Wait, they invited Wee Man, but they didn't invite Bam?
Yeah, they got Wee Man back, and. I obviously Johnny Knoxville is probably the biggest name of the Jackass series, right?
Oh yeah,
but
by far,
right there next to him, who would you say?
Wee Man.
You say Wee Man is the next?
You're trolling.
Because I think it's this guy, and I'm trying to remember.
You're
his
trolling.
Name. No,
it's not Wee Man.
Steve-O.
There you go. Steve-O's a big one.
I'm not gonna lie, Wee Man was the only one I could remember.
Oh. Steve-O, but okay, so wait, I'll throw this back on you. No, I'm not excited about this, and I don't think anybody should watch it.
Really?
How do you feel?
Same.
I'm watching it opening day.
I will have no part of that silliness.
Me neither.
And that disgusting behavior.
It is. It's lowbrow, disgusting,
it's not even
childish.
Funny.
Can I get tickets after the show? We'll go after the show.
Is it only in theaters? Or
I don't know.
Oh, is it out right now?
I don't think so. Soon.
Can but I definitely.
But I will not be watching that. Nope.
I think it's horrible. And then as parents, I would make sure your kids do not go watch this filth. Because you wouldn't want them to repeat
anything. Well, you don't want to. I mean, yeah. Yeah, you don't want any of that.
I don't even know how Johnny Knoxville's alive. He stands in a bowl in front of a bowl every single episode and lets a bowl hit him full stride.
Like, oh, geez.
And I don't know if you saw the quick clip on this one. He took a worse shot from a bowl in this one than I've seen in the previous, in a tuxedo. Do you know we had Steve-O in studio?
Really?
I might have some pictures.
Is there anything left upstairs there?
No. No. And as goofy as he is on the show, like when he's off air, he's even more loopy.
Wow.
You remember what he was doing with the water bottle? You remember that trick he was trying?
No, I don't. But I remember when he was snorting wasabi.
Whoa.
Yeah, he snorted.
In studio?
He snorted two lines of wasabi.
In front of you?
No.
Oh.
On one of the shows. Oof. What trick was he doing with the water bottle?
Yeah, right? I'm going to see if I can find that video. He was doing some stupid human trick.
Have you the tattoo on his back? It's a picture of him. It's a full mural.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I've seen that.
Of him with two thumbs up. No, I don't. I would not promote this. I would not watch it. Is it in theaters now?
I don't know where. Hold on.
Do you want to go?
Oh, no, no, I would not. Maybe later.
Me neither. Yeah, again, ahead. I definitely wouldn't promote it.
No. Nope. No, sir.
Make sure you don't let your kids see it.
Nope. All right. October 22nd, 2021.
Okay. We still got some time before we won't watch it.
Yes. All right. The first one came out in 2002, then 2006, then 2010. So it's been 11 years.
Hey, Johnny Knoxville in this one is all gray. He's 50. You're right. Jeez. Right on the head.
Wow.
And he is all gray.
You can't be doing this stuff when you're 50.
Well, do they have to have money? Like, is Johnny Knoxville broke?
No, there's no way they're broke.
Johnny. Even in a movie, too. He did, it was like Men in Black or something like that, Men in Black 2.
It was called The Ringer.
He did that one, too. Good.
I think he was in one of the Men in Blacks.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
One of the later ones that nobody actually watched.
Number two.
You're thinking of that woman that dated Jack Nicholson.
Huh? You mean Jack Nicholas?
No.
The actor.
Jack Nicholas. Jack Nicholson.
No, Jack Nicholas, the actor.
Jack Nicholson, the actor. Not the Golden Bear.
Okay, just check it.
I'm talking about, here's Johnny.
That'd be Jack
Nicholas.
The
girl that dated him. That was in the Men in Black.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Are you serious? She was also the girl that loved Wayne in Wayne's World.
Yeah, the redhead girl.
No, she's dark-haired.
The one that she said,
with the braces.
I'm pregnant.
Yes, that one in Wayne's World. Her.
She dated the Golden Bear?
That's crazy.
What?
There's a way big age gap between those two.
So big.
She dated Jack Nicholson.
Still a way big age gap.
There is a big age gap.
Like,
no,
that
question.
Was a much of a difference there between
the
two.
All right, you ready? Let me see if I got this right. And you can see I'm not Googling it. Laura Flynn Boyle?
That's her.
That's it.
That's her.
Bam. Nailed it. And she was in what?
Wayne's World.
I know, but what?
Men in Black.
I know, but why are we talking about her?
She dated Jack Nicholson.
I know, but how does that have to do with Jackass? Like, how did we get started?
Well, because Johnny Knoxville was in the one with her.
Oh, because you guys were mistaking Johnny Knoxville for
Laura Flynn Boyle.
They're in the same movie. Johnny Knoxville is her
alien.
Yes, essentially.
I think so.
You're wrong.
Wow,
I cannot believe she dated Jack Nicholas.
We've made some real wild turns, but that's one of the most wild.
Oh, my head hurts.
And I don't know how the Golden Bear got pulled into any of this.
Because you said she was married to Laura Flynn Boyle, or that he was.
No, Jack Nicholson. Son.
Okay. Lloyd, you should probably spin the wheel.
Who's the moron in the sausage truck?
This guy said Tia Carrera. She was in Wayne's World, but that's not what we're talking about. This guy in the sausage truck. Oh, man. Don't stop watching that. We're not watching that. That guy takes a bite right in his face by a big snake.
Oh, okay.
These guys are, somebody's going to die in this one.
I'm surprised somebody hasn't died already.
Well, I'm surprised Bam Margera even cares. Like, I would be like, I'm glad you didn't call me. I don't want to be a part of your stupid movie where I have to do horrible things. Oh. I'm not going to watch it. And I don't want anybody watching it. It's terrible.
What was the headline, Lloyd?
Who's the moron in the sausage truck? Are you sure this isn't about Jackass?
No, it's not. But this guy is a jackass. Did you see the promotional sausage truck got stuck in the path of the Tour de France? and the bikers go around the sausage truck. The sausage truck had to take a detour. This is a giant truck, and all it does is it goes down the course, and they throw out sausages and different party favors to the
really
yeah to the people.
See, now that's a parade I could get behind instead of somebody, you know, some schmuck out there throwing saltwater candy.
Yeah.
Like let's throw out some Colosimo sausages.
Yeah,
Now we got ourselves a parade.
Have a bratwurst hit you in the forehead.
Yeah.
Instead of a Tootsie Roll.
You come with your own buns, and you're like, bam, slap that sucker in there, throw out some relish packs, and we're going.
Who was driving it? Abe Froman?
Abe Froman, sausage king of Chicago.
Oh, man, you show up the parade or the bike route with like a package of buns. They're throwing out warm sausages. Chad, that's great, man.
I know. Now, that's a parade I would go to.
If there was a Hanson Scotty float in the days of 47 parade, darn bet we would be throwing hot sausages at people.
Yep. Some guy out there, hey, you got some spicy chorizo? You got it, man. Here you go.
We'll throw some extra mayo on it. It's spicy.
Let's go.
Yeah, so it's the promotional caravan traveling ahead of the Peloton. It casts assorted treasures of single-use plastics to the waiting public. And one of these treasures is offering of sausage brand called Cochenu. It's been the official sausage supplier of the Tour de France since 1999.
The official sausage.
And this guy got in this narrow corridor with this massive truck, and it's got a turn, and he couldn't make the turn.
Oh, jeez. It's so funny. Here comes the bikers barreling down.
He got the sausage truck stuck. If you want to find the picture of it, it's actually pretty funny because the side of the truck is wedged against this boulder wall, and then the other side is wedged against the edge of a cliff. There was nowhere to go.
This reminds me of, and Lloyd, you probably know this story better than I do. Jake told it the other day, but where he was doing a remote at one of the Tour of Utah races and had to drive on, what golf course was it to get out?
I believe that was actually Soldier Hollow.
That was Soldier Hollow.
Where he's driving up and down the fairways.
Yeah, and it's like, what was he, had an Oldsmobile, didn't he?
Yeah, that old, I think the old Cutlass he had.
Yeah, some old Cutlass, some nasty car that was smoking.
Oh, that might have been the Hyundai. He might have had the old Sonata at that time, possibly.
Either way, he looked like Uncle Buck driving around.
You mind if I drive through, guys?
Hey, Bug.
Bug. Oh, man. Uncle Buck's a good one. Whoa, who are you?
That was an excellent shot he teed up, too.
You know, Jake driving a car across a golf course is something that will live on.
It's kind of on brand.
It is way on brand for sure.
All right. You know what? Should we sneak in one more, Lloyd, or go to break? Your call.
All right.
There you go.
I'm on board.
By the way, Sports Roulette brought to you by Davis Vision. Get $1,000 off your LASIK. Call right now, 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080. Or go to davisvisionmd.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Top 60 and 60 is back on the Zone Sports Network. Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah as voted on by the local media. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60, weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union and Icon on your home of the best college football coverage in Utah. 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
.975-1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Gerard. Wrapping up the 12 o'clock hour. Heading down to Vegas after the show. Bam. Let's go. You know what, though? The only thing that bugs me about this trip is I like Vegas. I don't like the Strip Vegas.
Is that where they got? You're not at South?
Yeah, it's at the Cosmopolitan.
South Point? What's the other one?
Green Valley is where they've had it in Henderson for a bunch of years.
Where is this one?
Cosmopolitan.
Oh. And that's the worst of the Strip.
I know. That is, like, good luck finding a blackjack table for less than $40 a hand.
Do they have?
I don't even know if they have a poker room in there.
Do they have you staying at the D?
No, that was you. You stayed at the D. Is the D close by?
It's right there by the Cosmopolitan.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. And you liked that place, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was phenomenal.
Maybe I'll swing over there.
Yeah, small, quaint.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Easy to access.
Okay. I was thinking about that the other day when, because, you know, I was getting a little salty on the trendsetter thing was getting a little old. And then I was thinking about the time that we made, what's your guy's name that sets up those broadcasts?
Brian Estrich.
And I said some things to him in front of you about you.
Oh, yeah. Yep. About where he was having me stay for the bowl game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that were unsavory.
So,
I'm like, fair's like, fair, man. I think we're
probably like, yeah, maybe I kind of earned that.
We rough each other up a little bit. But that one, you went too far. And I called you and said, hey, bud, there's things that we can say, and there's things we should
in front
say.
Of potential employers.
Yeah. Because even he was like, so is it always like that? I'm like, no, he's typically nicer. He doesn't typically say things like that. But it is kind of a goofy name. I mean, you wouldn't think that that's where you'd want to stay, but it's a great place.
Is there a poker room in it?
Yeah.
I just want to find a nice poker table where I can sit for a few hours. That's it.
You got to leave the strip.
I know. You can't.
Unless you want to show up with $500 and get caught into Dunson Broil across the table with this cowboy hat taking you for everything you're worth.
Is that Phil Hellmuth right there? Yeah. Oh, man.
What was Chan was the other one.
Yeah.
Those old days of those ultimate poker, ultimate hold'em, or what was the old tournaments they used to show on TV?
Yeah.
And you had Chan and Hellmuth and
Phil Ivey.
Doyle Brunson.
Yep.
Phil Ivey.
Phil Ivey's my guy. I love watching Phil Ivey play poker.
Who was the twitchy one? The white guy, kind of twitchy guy.
Moneymaker?
No, Moneymaker won one. He was the big guy.
Yeah, Moneymaker was the dude. He was our guy. He got every – I mean, you or I could have won it with the hands he got dealt with.
I know. And never won again.
Never won again because he's never going to get that lucky again.
Yeah, those were the good old days, man. Those were fun to watch back in the day.
All right, we're live here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, Hans Olson, Scott Girard.
Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, whatever you're looking to do, buy a car, sell a car, trade in a car, everything, it's right here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. And you know, they take pride in everything they do. If it's parts and service department, getting you the oil change, getting you in and out, giving you a fair price on an oil change, to finding the exact vehicle you're looking for. You know, maybe you're wanting a Range Rover fully loaded with subwoofers and a new paint job. They're going to find all those things. They're going to help you find the exact vehicle you're looking for, but they're going to kick that new car price to the curb. Let somebody else drive that depreciation off a vehicle. I've told you this, Scotty. I will never buy a new car as long as I live. It's never going to happen. As much as my wife might want one, we're not buying a new car off of a new lot. We will always buy used. And we'll always buy from Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket because I know what I'm getting. I know the backing that I'm getting. And I know I can find a 2021 with 5,000, 8,000 miles on it, something that's brand new, looks new, but it's got $20,000 of depreciation driven off of it. That's what you get when you come to Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. And when you come in, I want you to get an estimate on the vehicle that you're currently driving. It's worth more than it's ever been. For a trade-in, for a buyback, if you need instant cash, maybe you can get instant cash on the vehicle that you've got that they can purchase. Bring it down to the Big Green Buildings where they're saving you thousands upon thousands.
Hans and Scotty, 1 o'clock hour coming up. It's a busy one. You're going to hear from David Locke in about 30 minutes. We'll also make another announcement in our top 1660. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.